Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Hope everybody had a great Memorial weekend. The weather was fantastic. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick for the next 4 hours with you. Elijah Campbell manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Lots to get into. Baseball regular season and conference tournaments are in the books. The regional brackets are out. Who's hosting? Who's not? We'll talk about that. The NHL has whittled things down to four. We'll talk about that as well. Yes, everything begins tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, game one in the Western Conference between the Oilers and the Avalanche. Actually, that's tonight. That's right. This is Tuesday. I'm going to be off by a day. It's going to take me a couple days to realize today is Tuesday. So the Oilers and Avs will get things started tonight because today is not Monday. Yesterday was Monday. So we'll get into all that. The feedback from Adam Vinkin's piece on The Athletic is out. The results are in. We'll discuss that. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him, coming up today. So we'll get into all things NFL and Titans with him. A little OTA action Titans will have tomorrow that we'll have some coverage for you for that. So lots to get into today on this Tuesday, the last day of May. Tomorrow we'll be heading into June. Yikes, crazy. Where did time go? Went fast. Willie, what's going on?
Greetings, Darren. It's been a fun weekend. Great to get some relaxation time. Watched a lot of baseball on the youth level, and plenty of great action on TV, of course, all weekend long. So got some fun stuff to get to today. And the twists and turns of the NHL season is great. And yesterday, I did get to see the brackets get announced, too, for the college baseball. It's always one of my favorite weeks of the year when the regionals get started all around the country. It's really exciting.
Indeed it is. We decided a little last minute, I think Lauren kind of had her Easter moment on Saturday morning. Lauren has risen after 3 days being nowhere to be found because, as you know, we had some stuff going on in the house. Lots of sickness going around, but everything, the medicine seemed to be working. We decided, you know what? Let's head to Atlanta. Let's head down to Hotlanta. And we did. Went to the Braves game on Sunday against the Marlins. I cannot escape the Marlins. I can't tell you, it's nothing against the Marlins, but I can't escape the Marlins. It's unbelievable how many times I see the Marlins every time I go to a Braves game. It's against the Marlins. Every time, it's unbelievable. Last year, July 4th weekend, Braves, Marlins. Went to Miami last year in August. Of course, caught a Marlins game. Of course, that was expected. You're in Miami. If you're going to a baseball game, you're going to see the Marlins. I saw the Marlins and your Mets. This year, just went this weekend, Braves, Marlins. Our last tournament of this baseball season will be a World Series tournament in Missouri in St. Louis, and the festivities begin with a Cardinals game, and the boys will get to go on the field, and it is a Cardinals and, you fill in the blank, yes, you've guessed it right, the Marlins. You know, if Sanchez is going to hit 500-foot home runs, you know, that would be nice if we were at that game, but we were not at the game yesterday in Colorado when Sanchez did hit a 496-foot shot, which I think is the longest. It's
longest of the year.
Longest of the year and probably will be. I don't think anyone will
hit one. It might be
further,
because it's pretty evident that the balls are not the same this year. The ball's not flying out nearly like it was the last couple of years. It looks like it's pretty obvious that they have tried to deaden the ball some, which I think is not a bad thing. I think they've got to legislate getting the ball in play more. And there's a lot of ways to do it, and that's certainly the easiest way. So I think the game is more fair, but still, it's Coors Field, but 496, is that what it was?
496.
A guy took a picture who caught the ball. And I'm telling you, man, that is the Chiefs. I was just at Coors Field during the playoffs. I got to go to a Rockies game out there. It's a beautiful park. But, man, when you sit in those seats, there's no way that you're anticipating getting a ball. Even though you're at Coors and you know the ball flies, that was a mammoth shot. The thing is, it was the only run that they scored. That's not good at Coors Field.
That is true. I saw the Bravos beat up on them on Sunday. By the way, the ball was flying out of Truist Park on Sunday. You had Soler had two homers for the Marlins. Ozuna had two homers for Atlanta. And Austin Riley had a bomb. There were five home runs in that game. By the way, the five home runs in the first three or four innings, maybe five innings, I guess, to get around to, because I think the Soler and Ozuna were the first two at bats, I think. I think that's right.
I got to wonder if the Braves are starting to get a little concerned. Memorial Day is the first day that you really start paying attention to the standings and saying, okay, where are we? You know, just a little over a quarter of the season gone by. There's been some great stories the last few years. It's been really crazy. The Braves last year, the biggest example was the Nationals a couple years ago, and even the Dodgers. I didn't remember this, but the Dodgers 2 years ago, of course, it was a short season. That was 2020. We're all under 500 a quarter of the way through the season. Of course, remember the what was the record of the Nationals? They were way under 500 and came roaring back. But you got to be a little concerned, don't you, if you're the Braves, sitting three games under 500 this far into the season as the defending champs?
Well, I mean, it is going to be June tomorrow. I don't know. There's still a long ways to go. I mean, they're just below 500. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they're three under. Did you get a sense in the crowd that there was some frustration? Or
no. Well, no.
You still think it's going to be all right?
No, the Braves, you know, they gave up the solo shot in the top of the first and came back with back-to-back homers in the bottom of the first with Ozuna and Riley. So, no, they were in good spirits.
So they were in a good mood at that point.
They were in a good mood the whole game because the Braves were in control the entire game. It was a great crowd. It was packed. It was a really good crowd. No, I didn't get unrest. I did want to look at the jerseys. Didn't see very many Freddie Freeman jerseys. It seems to be all the attention has turned to Acuna now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a key for them is they've got to get him going. They, he's had a couple of ailments coming back from the knee. He had another injury on top of that. So he still hasn't exploded, which, you know, if you're looking for reasons why the Braves will be okay, that's one of them. It's just a matter of time before he gets cranking. And, of course, you got an extra playoff spot to work with that you didn't have before. So, of course, me being the Mets fan, I am pinching myself because they've built a 9.5-game lead already, although they're about to go into a very, very difficult stretch of games starting next week or later this week. They go to L.A., then they go to San Diego, then Anaheim, and the Angels are actually good. They're starting to get better. And then they come back home and play the Brewers, who did you know Josh Hader, who saved both ends of the doubleheader yesterday at Wrigley Field? He has not allowed a run since last July. Not a run, not even an unearned run.
You're saying that's
zero runs.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So when they get ahead late in the game, the Brewers, they're going to win. You're not likely to score.
Yeah, I would say that's – you can count on that for sure. You know, yesterday – sometimes you know, it's one thing if you do it with the Marlins, you know, a guy comes up, you're like, you feel like Ace Ventura, you know, you're Jim Carrey. Who the hell's that? Well, I did that with the Braves yesterday because he came up and I was like, who's Michael Harris the second? Who's that? I didn't know who he was. And I was like, you know, then his first at bat, I was like, man, that guy looked lost at the plate. And so then I, you know, started hearing people around, and then people, you know, heard me talking. They're like, "That's so." I guess that was the Braves' number one prospect. So they brought him up, and the reason he looked lost at the plate on the first bat because that was his first bat. So to be expected. He did make a couple spectacular catches in center field, but I guess he's a really good hitter. He's never even played in Triple A, I don't believe. I don't think he's even played for Gwinnett. He came up straight from Double A.
Wow.
Yeah, so he is their, I guess, their top prospect. And, yeah, right now. So to answer your question, the reason I bring that up is because sometimes that is an indicator that there's a little concern, right? If you're willing just to dip down into the minors to kind of spark something, and you bring up your kid from Double A, I get it. He's your number one prospect, but he hasn't even played for Gwinnett, and you just throw him out there at 21 years of age in center field. Maybe the answer to your question is maybe not overly concerned, but a little bit concerned.
I guess I don't know the story behind that one. I don't know why they decided now to do it, but yeah, you're searching for answers a little bit. There's no question, and I do think the prevailing from the outside thing is what effect is not having Freddie Freeman having on them. You know, just not having him and his presence, what effect is that having? It's an easy one to throw out there, and it's not the full answer. But I think when you're the defending champs and you're 23 and 26, that is going to be the label until you get going.
Right. It's because Matt Olson, there's not a dip in, like, offense or
yeah,
first.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But you don't know what the results are behind the play, you know, behind the scenes, right, in the clubhouse. I mean, that's the things you can't measure. Those things are not on a stat sheet. And, you know, all good teams, all great teams, typically are all kumbaya behind, you know, behind closed doors. They've got leaders in there. They've got, you know, people that are controlling the room and the message, and they all get along. And so, I don't know, but maybe there's a dip in, you know, what Freddie Freeman brought behind the scenes. I don't know. There's really, when you look at, like, offense, I get it. Freeman, you know, has been fine with the Dodgers, but it's not like that's the reason they're under 500, because Matt Olson is struggling mightily. No, he's not. Not at all. But you don't know what element he brings behind the scenes. You don't know what Freddie Freeman, you know, how much did he weigh in to their success behind the scenes? So sometimes you can't measure that stuff and you don't know, but time will tell, I guess, as they say. We'll come back. Yep. Said the results are out. Let's discuss how they look on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game 106.3. We'll kind of shift our Monday programming to this show. We'll head east. We'll Smoky Mountain Rain. Vince Ferrara coming up at high noon. TD can't be with us, so we'll talk to our man Joe Rexroad coming up at 11 o'clock. Also, this is what I know. At 11:45, and the prize will be a pair of tickets to see Train and special guests Jewel and Blues Traveler at Ascend Amphitheater.
Ooh,
that'll be a really good show.
That's
coming up next
three.
Month, June 21st. So there you go. That'd be a good show. Really good show.
I enjoy all three of those artists right there.
No doubt.
Especially Blues Traveler. I'm a big fan of Blues Traveler. It's good stuff.
I'd probably have them third.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably have them third. I'd probably go Jewel, Train. Or Train, Jewel, no particular order, and then third.
Okay.
Back here on the
clearly
DDC.
Clearly, Blues Traveler first.
Yeah, you were very adamant about that. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. All right, we talked about last week the results, or not the results, the article, Predators Fan Survey, that Adam Vigan from The Athletic put out there. And the results are in. This was released this morning. Over 1,200 people participated in this 10-question survey. And I guess let's go through the questions and the results. We did kind of predict. I remember I was predicting what I thought people would say. And so let's start with the one with which word describes your feelings about the current state of the Predators.
Well, we talked about this when we gave our own opinion on it, Darren, mm-hmm. It's a little bit of misleading, because you can be more than one of these. And as Adam points out, a lot of people said, look, four of the five answer choices were negative. the point I made was you can be frustrated but also be optimistic at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100% of the people should be frustrated. If you're not frustrated, then you probably aren't interested enough to take this survey, I would think.
Or apathetic.
So I'm throwing that out. But I do think it's significant that 36.5 people said that they were skeptical. Another 8, that was the leading answer. Another 18% were pessimistic. So I do think that's a significant thing, but it's not surprising, right? It's really not. When you look at what happened, and especially when you consider how the season ended, it doesn't surprise me at all that that's the answer. I tend to be more optimistic if you look at the full picture of what they've been trying to do the last 2 years. I think they've succeeded in doing a lot of what they set out to do after they lost in the bubble in 2020. But it doesn't surprise me that you have this kind of response.
Nope. I said skeptical and frustrated would be the top two choices, and indeed they were the top two choices.
Yeah. A lot of these answers aren't going to surprise us based on what we did. But there's a couple that I thought were worth discussing a little further. So, you know, it sort of falls in line with the reaction to David Poile, as you can imagine, because the outlook is skeptical. The confidence in David Poile is fairly low, I would say. So 1, 2, or 3 takes up the vast majority. So 20, you know, about a quarter of the people are right in the middle, and then about 60% have a 1 or a 2. So I would break it down that way. Well, it's only like 13% are in the 4 or 5 confident range that he can return them to Stanley Cup contender status.
And that was the question 2, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest.
Yeah.
In your confidence in general manager David Poile returning the team to the Stanley Cup contender status. Again, and this is not to nitpick anything. Like, this is a good gauge. This is a, you know, this is something good that we can talk about, and is it the end all be all? No, but this is a good exercise to do. But again, return to Stanley Cup contender status. I the way I look at things is, if you're in the playoffs, you're in Stanley Cup contender status. Like, again, this notion that, oh, well, if you're in the playoffs, but you really don't have a chance. Since when? How many more times do we have to talk about this? Since when is the Stanley Cup? I challenge people again. I've said this for years and years. Pick the playoffs. Pick the brackets before it starts and tell me how good you are. It's hard. Yeah. You know why? Because it's upset city. Again, Edmonton, right? Everybody had Edmonton in the Final Four. True? Everybody had that? Like, yeah, you could say Tampa and Colorado. Sure. I'm sure there'd be tons of people that would have that. But how about all the upsets along the way? By the way, I did have the Rangers in the Final Four. Just saying, I do have my bracket.
I got to tip my cap to you on the Rangers. But I don't think a lot of people before the season had them in the Final Four. There's always some surprises, which is why, to me, it's always good. You want the passionate fan base, and that, I think, reflects a lot in this survey.
I guess
to add perspective. I when you say Stanley Cup contender, nobody's a Stanley Cup contender every year.
Not
in the salary cap era.
Was St. Louis a Stanley Cup? Was Minnesota a Stanley Cup contender this year?
They thought they were.
Well, what do you mean they thought? Look at their body of work. They were the second best team in the Western Conference. Stanley Cup contender?
Yes.
Okay,
I think so.
They were out in the first round.
Yeah, that's what we say it every year, don't we?
That's my point is.
Maple Leafs haven't won a series since 2004, but I thought they were a Stanley Cup contender.
I don't want to nitpick it, but the word Stanley Cup contender status, like, I don't understand. What does that mean in hockey? To me, it's either you're a Stanley Cup contender if you're in the playoffs, you're not if you're not in the playoffs.
That's one way of putting it. I wouldn't go that far. I think there are times where you feel like when you get into the playoffs, you have all of the elements to make
a
run.
And how many times does that work out?
It doesn't mean you're going to make the run. That's the point.
Because the year after.
So that's why I'm confident.
Right? The 2018, did everybody think they was okay? How did they do? They didn't get out of the second round. Like, it
Right. They lost to a great team in the seventh game. And so that's happened. Like Toronto, they lost in the seventh game to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions in the first round. So it doesn't mean that you didn't put together a great team. There's a responsibility of the general manager to know when you have the horses to go for it and know when you need to keep building and changing to try to build back up. It's very, very hard. I don't think it's possible to be a contender every single year. And we've mentioned Washington since they won it, Pittsburgh since they last won it. It's just very, very difficult to stay on top of that. So you're always going to have these cycles. You're constantly changing. So
I'm not saying this team is a contender. I'm saying if you get in the playoffs, and I get it, we can all say they got swept. Yeah, we know the results now. Like, we get it. They got swept. They didn't look great. But, I say when you get into the playoffs, you are a contender. And I understand it's wording. You don't really believe that. But also, I don't believe anybody thought the Montreal Canadiens were going to go to the Stanley Cup final last year. No one. I mean, literally no one. Going into the playoffs, would anyone say they are a cup contender? No. The answer was no. They got there. They got to the final. So that's my point is it's weird. Like, how do you word it, right? Like, I guess, how do you really know?
How do you word it?
Where, because I understand what Adam is asking, and I, you know, but to me, it's how do you truly judge? I guess just by roster and paper, like you look at somebody and you go, yes, loaded roster. Well, I would tell you, I think St. Louis was a cup contender.
Absolutely.
They were good enough to go. They didn't make it out of the second round.
Calgary?
All season was a cup contender. They barely made it out of the first round.
I think we all acknowledge that the Predators were a notch below those teams, and that's the goal, is how do you cycle back up? What's the next step in closing the gap and getting into that position? It still doesn't guarantee anything. Nobody's guaranteed. Even though Colorado, we all believe, is the best team, it doesn't mean they're going to win it. I mean, they have the chance. They were clearly better than the Blues, who we think are a cup contender. That's a pretty good sign for Colorado. But every round has got its own energy. And so now we'll see. I think Colorado's quite a bit better than Edmonton, which is why it's this, you know, the only what if I'll have on this season is if UC Soros hadn't been hurt, I think you would see a much more competitive Predators team in the playoffs playing against Calgary in the first round, which might have changed the answers in some of these questions in the survey.
I don't know if it really changes. I don't know how much it changes things. I do think
if they lose in seven games, if they do what Dallas did, if they lose in seven games,
was
to
Dallas
Calgary.
A cup contender? Again, going by what I've just been sitting here saying this entire segment, they got in. So yes, they were a cup contender. But I see the point. Like, you don't really believe it, but again, I say, well, then show me your predictions before the playoffs begin, and I'll show you how hard it is. Because it's littered with upsets all the time. It's so hard to predict the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is hard. I do it every year, and I find myself feeling very confident about my picks. And then midway through, I'm going, what the hell just happened? Well,
and the reason they made the playoffs was UC Soros, and they had to play in the playoffs without the guy that tips the scales for them.
So, now, I did pick Colorado to go all the way.
That's Shesterkin.
Because
that's
I've been saying they finally reached the point where they know. They know what's at stake. They've been underachievers. They've been hearing it this whole time, and we've seen this happen before. Now this is where they break through, right? This is why I predicted them to get there. But if you've noticed, like in the Blues series, I said it's going to be tight. Now, you know, they ended up winning. You know, that was a heck of a Game 6 win. A heck of a Game 6 win. I thought it was going to go 7. But, you know, I think they're going to push through because they've been hearing about how great they are in the regular season, and yet they keep underachieving in the playoffs. Again, have they been cup contenders the last two years? Let's say the last 2 years. Were they cup contenders? Yes. They fell flat on their face. They didn't do anything. And I think this is the year, and they've heard about it, so this is the year they're probably going to plow through and get all the way to the end. I mean, this may be the year they win it all. I mean, I think they are the best team. It doesn't mean the best team always wins. So we'll continue on with more of these on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. Back here on the DDC.
On this, there's your Blues Traveler. This is a good showcase right here.
And I'm okay with it. No problem.
Brings me back. 328 Performance Hall right here.
There's still just three. I'm just saying. But I enjoy the songs. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC, discussing Adam Vinken's results. The fan poll. They're out. So we just talked about David Poile. It was I said it would be the numbers. There should have been a 2.5 option because I do think 2.5 was going to win, but it was between 2 and 3. The results 38.4 and 26.2. So majority going with 2 or 3. How do you feel about Predators giving John Hines a new 2-year contract? Indifferent wins for it.
Indifferent. If you're indifferent, don't take the survey. That and the apathetic, I just think, should be left off. Like, we're here, we have an opinion, you're taking the survey. Indifferent shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, what's interesting is for it and against it were basically the exact same thing.
Almost deadlocked, yeah. I think the fact that it was 2 years makes it almost a non-story. Like, once he's coming back, unless he had been signed, either fired or signed to, like, a 6-year deal, it's really just par for the course.
They added a year.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
They gave him that. They gave him the security of not having to walk into the last year of his contract. And it doesn't mean that if they fall flat on their face, then I think just like any team, he'll be on the hot seat.
I disagree with you. I do think you can be indifferent. I kind of probably feel like I'm indifferent. I don't see a reason.
But that's why saying you don't really worry about what the coach makes, because it's really the coach's contract is what it is, right? A coach is always under scrutiny, no matter what the contract status is. So if that's the reason you're indifferent, I get that.
I don't know what's – this is not about – this is not recruiting. Like, colleges use that
right, name exactly.
Stuff. Like, all right, we got to show that he's going to be here a while for recruiting. Like, I don't know what was the point of adding
the year. Yeah, it's a different
deal. It's – I don't know what's – so I'm kind of indifferent because it's like, okay, what – I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. I don't feel like – I don't believe going into the final year means you don't believe. I don't – that doesn't mean that you're not you're not – in that camp. It just means, like, again, I'm not going to be phony. When they added stuff to Jeremy Pruitt, I'm like, why? Like, where's he going? Like, John Hines, the same deal. Why? He's not. Where's he going to go? Is he going to be like, I'm going to hold out because you're not going to give me an extra year?
I'll tell you what can happen. There's a lot of things that can happen. One thing, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but remember,
I know where you're
the
going
Capitals did that to Barry Trotz. They let him dangle. Going into the last year, he almost was fired a couple of times during the season that they ended up winning it. Then the Capitals win the whole thing, and he's a free agent. He's the most sought after, and he could then turn the tables on them, and he left them, and they haven't won anything since.
Yeah, but
not
I don't
even
believe
a single
that.
Round.
I mean, they had already made up their mind. They had already made their bed. The Predators.
Yeah, but once
made
they
bed.
Won it, what once they won it, then they did kind of come back to Barry Trotz and say, they had egg all over their face. You don't think so?
No,
not bringing back the coach that won the Stanley Cup when you've never won it before. That looked pretty bad on the Capitals.
They were not dangling John Hines out there to leave him hanging. Like, that's not the. They were
no, but that's why
Barry
you don't.
Trotz
that's why you don't let.
If
you think your coach is doing a good job, you give yourself and the coach the security of one extra year, so you don't put yourself in a position that the Capitals put themselves in.
Yeah. So we move on. I don't really.
All right,
think there's
let's
much
move on.
More to say.
Yeah. I agree. To me, that's not the most intriguing question by any means on this survey.
Do you want to hear directly from ownership?
Yep.
Okay.
About 80-20. About 80-20, yes. They want to hear from them on some level. And as we talked about last week when we went through all this stuff, there's a lot of different levels. I don't think anybody's asking for Jerry Jones. but they would be nice to, you know they're out there on some level, right?
Well, no, but I don't understand the whole Jerry Jones. Like, there's a level of where we are here and Jerry Jones, and there's about five states in between. Like, you could
exactly.
be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know where we go with – because you hear from the owner, it's going to be like Jerry Jones. Like, there's one Jerry Jones.
Yes, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you
on that. I don't
know
why we keep throwing out the Jerry Jones reference. So you can be somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's the extreme.
Or at least on the radar. How about that?
Meddling. A meddling owner.
Well, yeah, but
there
I'm saying
lot,
how about
a lot
you
of
could
them.
Just be on the radar. I mean, that we're a long ways
yes,
away.
Yes, that's
from
the other
Jones.
End of the spectrum. Yep.
Yeah. So 80-20.
And Herbert
yes.
is on the radar. He just doesn't talk publicly. He's always there. He's engaged. He's at the games. He's amongst the people. You just don't hear from him publicly. That's not his thing. All right. Would you support a full-scale rebuild if it meant picking number one in the draft at least once? Now, this was the most intriguing response to me. I was really surprised. 62% to 38% said yes. As you okay. and I have gone back and forth, I just think be careful what you wish for.
Look, I don't want this to come off like I'm nitpicking. It's the wording. So I need to know, what does that mean when you say support? What does that mean? Like, as in just your opinion? Or is it a deeper dive than that? Because if you're doing this survey, you probably go to games and you do support the team, right? Or is it just this is a person who subscribes as a Predators fan. They now live in Montana, and they're like, yeah, I support a rebuild. Okay, well, you've got no skin in the games whatsoever. You don't live in the market anymore. You don't go to games anymore. You watch from afar. You root from afar. I don't know what that means. A full scale rebuild. What does that mean? So you're telling us, because this is what I've been very adamant about on this show since the jump of this question and us discussing this. And I've said this over and over and over again. Okay, if that's what you want, so you're saying you're going to be in the trenches. You're gonna go to the games. You're gonna watch on television on Bally Sports. You're going to listen on these airwaves. You're all in still. You're going to support the team. Or is it, hey, I want you to go rebuild and get some star players and then reach out to me whenever you're good again? Because there is a huge difference. And if everybody's going to be like, heck yeah, full-scale rebuild, let's try to get that generational player. And then let me know when you do it.
okay.
If that's the added, like, no one's interested in that. You understand? Like, no one is the Predators aren't interested in that. They got a business to run, not for everybody to bounce and say. And by the way, with this model, no guarantees whatsoever. None.
Well, okay, let's get to that part of it. No guarantees. Here is one comment that Adam published in the responses. In today's NHL, a team is extremely unlikely to win it all without an elite offensive player. You need a player like Crosby, Ovechkin, Stamkos to have a real shot at winning the Stanley Cup. Look how far the Predators went this season with several players having career years. The Avalanche's talent was miles ahead. Okay, here, let's just read off. The assumption in this question is if you have the number one pick, you're going to get that player. Right?
Yes.
That's kind of so now let's say you had a one-shot deal at the one number one pick. Let's just read off, and I don't want to spend too much time, but since the Predators have drafted, the first Predators draft was ever they had was 1998. They had the second pick. They picked David Legault. The first pick was Vincent LeCavalier. Now, was he a great player? Yeah, he was a great player. He's not Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin, or Stamkos.
No,
Nope. Right, but he was a really, really good player. Franchise player.
Solid player.
1999. Number one pick, Atlanta Thrashers, Patrick Stefan.
No need to spend any time on that. We all know the answer.
Yes. Rick DiPietro, 2000.
We all know the answer to that.
Ilya Kovalchuk, 2001.
Good for a bit.
Rick Nash, 2002. Marc-Andre Fleury, 2003. Ovechkin, 04. Crosby, 05. Eric Johnson, still playing, plays with the Avalanche. He was the first overall pick in 2006. Patrick Kane, 2007. Okay. Stamkos, 2008. John Tavares, 2009. Taylor Hall, 2010. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 2011. Nail Yakupov, 2012. These are the first overall picks. Nathan MacKinnon, 2013. Boom. Aaron Ekblad, 2014. Okay. Connor McDavid, 2015. Auston Matthews, 2016. 2017, Nico Hischier.
He's okay. He's good.
2018.
He's not in this ilk.
Right. Then Rasmus Dahlin, who's just starting to come around for the Sabres, still young. Jack Hughes, still very young. They've invested heavily in him. When he's healthy, he's pretty good. Lafreniere, who's still playing with the Rangers, still very, very young. And then last year was Owen Power, who just got a chance to play a little bit at the last part of the season for the Sabres. My point is, there's a pretty wide range there, right? There's total busts in there. There are the generational talents in there. And then there's a lot in between, right? Like Nico Hischier, he's a good player. Is he going to change your franchise? The Devils are still waiting. The Devils have been rebuilding for how many years now?
A good while.
And they've had high picks. And they're still waiting. They got Hughes. They got Hischier. They've picked high. They've had the first overall pick twice in the last 5 years. It still remains to be seen whether they can turn that into success. And I think eventually they will. Goodness, they've got to. But remember how long it took Edmonton. Edmonton got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Taylor Hall, Nail Yakupov. 3 years in a row they had the first pick. They didn't get any better. They still had the first pick in 2015.
Yep.
And that was Connor McDavid. So it took them 11 years to make the playoffs from 06 to 2017. And they had the first pick in the draft four times. So, again, that question is just not the clear path to success. Getting yourself bad enough to be the number one pick. Plus, there's a lottery. You could be really bad and still not win the lottery and get the first pick.
Okay, we'll come back, continue the discussion, and wrap up the first hour next. This is what I know in less than an hour. Pair of tickets see Train, Jewel, Blues Traveler, Ascend Amphitheater next month. Joe Rexroad coming up at 11 o'clock. We're talking about the results are in. The fan survey on The Athletic. And by the way, to what we were just talking about, is absolutely what's been said on the show, what I've been saying from jump. And Adam did do a follow-up question, which is what I've been saying from jump on the show. Would fans who voted for a rebuild still support and show up to games if they went to the bottom of the standings? And that's what I would love to know more from. The people that say, heck yeah, rebuild, 62%. Look, I don't think anybody, if you just said, would you want a generational player in your market, who in the hell would say no? Of course you would want that. Would we all want Patrick Mahomes to be the quarterback for the Titans? Yes. Hello? Would we all want Connor McDavid to play for the Predators? Yes. Who's going to say no to that? But again, generational players are not in every draft. They're not in every other draft. A lot of it is just pure
luck. That's why they
luck.
Call them generational.
Right. It's pure luck.
Well, and there have been a few here recently.
Austin Matthews
that has
and Connor
said,
McDavid.
There was a pretty good run there.
Yeah, there wasn't a gap really in that. But you don't get that very often, right? You just don't
Not
get
always.
That.
You can do it in any sport, especially when in baseball and in hockey, the generational guys, and I guess you could sort of say this about the NBA now, is the generational guys, I guess now in college they have to be 1 year in through college, so they're like 19, but a lot of times they're 18, and it's still hard to know what a guy is going to look like in the prime of his life when they're that young. They're always going to be misses with that.
The point is, everybody
can go back and say, well, look at the third pick or the fourth pick or the fifth pick. Yeah, that happens every year in every draft.
Could you get lucky and, you know, like the Colts have done and the Packers have done, and move on from generational player to generational player?
Yeah,
sure.
The Orlando Magic? Do you think they've been lucky a few times in the lottery?
Yeah. Everybody would sign up for it. The question is, with no guarantees, are you really in? Are you into it for the long haul? Because it may be for a generation that is incredible night in and night out. But what are you willing to do to get that. How long are you willing to hang in there, and what are you doing the whole time? Because it's probably not going to happen the first year you say, okay, now we're going to the bottom. We're going to sink. Okay, it's probably not going to happen that draft. It's not going to happen a year or two. It's going to take time. What are you doing during that time? Are you still doing the same thing you've been doing, what, 15 out of the last 18 years? Whenever the team has been good, sometimes really, really good, and sometimes just good enough to be in the playoffs and, you know, win around, maybe, maybe not. Are you still gonna, is it still going to be the same no matter what? I suspect it won't. It may be at first, but then after a while you're like, man, this, I'm just tired of going every night and seeing them
right.
lose. It's
and
gets
I,
old.
Look, I'm not here to tell you that it can't work out, right? There are some teams that
That's
have broken
not what
it
I'm saying.
Down.
Yeah,
and
I'm not
built
saying
it back
that either.
Up, and they did a really good job. You
sure.
probably need a little bit of luck. Not everything's
no,
going to
no,
work
not
out.
A little bit. You do. You do.
Yeah, you need some luck.
You need some luck.
But it can be done. But you've got to take the pain of the down years. Which I, you know, a person in the survey made this point, and I think it's a good point. This is actually way down in the comments, and the quote was, you know, if you can't sustain a few losing years, then the market doesn't deserve a franchise. I believe that. I believe that. You know, you can't be afraid if it's the right thing to do to make that move. But to me, most teams that make that move make it because they have no other choice. They can't be competitive. They've been trying to be competitive, and they can't be. So they have to break it down further. Look at Arizona. They didn't set out after they beat the Predators in the bubble to do what they're doing now, 2 years later. They would have loved to have beaten Colorado in the next round and then gone on and then built from there. But now here they are. They're about to go play in a college arena, and they have stripped it down to the absolute core. I don't think that's what they really wanted to do, but they didn't have a choice. That the wheels fell off the next year, and it starts snowballing.
To that
you know
comment, to that comment, I understand that. But here's the deal. In the NFL, there's really no pressure whatsoever on NFL owners. There's not. Would they like full houses? Sure, that's great. It's just more money. Do they need a full house? Can they survive with 20,000 empties when they stink? Yes, they can. That's because they're going to make their money no matter what. So there's real no pressure to be good. Yes, you want to be good. There is no pressure. You still make your money in the NFL. The point is the NBA, Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball is more regional thing. But the NBA has got a rich, lucrative TV contract. The NFL, we know about their TV contracts. Baseball has lucrative regional contracts. And hockey is below all them. Like, so you're much more dependent on people being in the building. You're much more dependent on your fan base than other sports. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment? Because they don't have they don't get the guaranteed money to the levels that the other sports do.
Right. You're also coming off a pandemic where you're trying to fight back to get revenue that you lost, whether you were good or not. You couldn't have fans, right? You rely on that gate. And so maybe you're even less inclined to break it way down.
But I'm just saying in hockey, you don't have the rich, lucrative TV deals that the other three have. And so you're much more dependent on people being there, people supporting you. In the NFL, like I said, again, I'm not saying that owners don't care, but if you stink for the whole time the Browns were stinking for two decades, they were still making tons of money. The same money as if they were having the other franchises that were having success because they all divvy up the same pie. That's just a fact. Now, you can make more money with, you know, being successful and having more fans in the stands or buying more merchandise. But the point is the Browns were not any danger of losing money or going away while they sucked. You know why? Because they still had that big TV pie every year they were going to divvy up, and they were going to be just fine. They were going to make money whether they won 12 games or they won two games or one game in their case, because they did that a lot. still going to make a lot of money. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second hour with Joe Rexroad from our morning show. We'll ask him about the survey, and we'll do that next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.